Let's go.
Good evening. You are listening to KRFP Moscow and now the evening report. The Moscow City Council will hold a public hearing tonight on opening the fiscal year 2015 budget in order to allocate additional money for the Moscow School District community playfields on Mountain View Road. The playfields are a joint project of the Moscow School District and the city. The money would come from the city's Hamilton bequeathment, which is designated for recreation opportunities for youth. The City Council will also consider a request from the Moscow Affordable Housing Trust for $20,000 to pay for organizational infrastructure and developmental cost. The council will also consider a proposed change to the ordinance addressing sidewalk cafes, allowing sidewalk serving areas to extend in front of the neighboring businesses with permission from the businesses next door. The council will also be asked to approve the Ridgeview Estates second edition final plat. Tonight's City Council meeting will begin at 7 p.m. at City Hall, and the main event is the fiscal year 2015 budget. The city is preparing to present to the public. A Troy man died Sunday when the grain truck he was driving lost its brakes coming down the Kendrick Grade on Highway 3. 43-year-old Craig S. Hokanson fully loaded truck went off the right side of the highway near the 16-mile marker, hit a ditch, returned to the roadway, overturned, and slid across the road off the other side. Hokanson was pronounced dead at the scene. The murder trial of 53-year-old Charles Capone began today in 2nd District Court in Latah County. Capone is charged with murdering his wife, Rachel Anderson, who disappeared in April of 2010 after beginning divorce proceedings against Capone. Anderson was last seen on her way to pick up her car at Capone's shop. Investigators, unable to locate either Anderson or her body, presume her to be dead. But Capone has consistently denied any connection to her disappearance. Capone and a friend, 52-year-old David C. Stone, were arrested in May of 2013 and charged with first-degree murder, failure to notify authorities about a death, and conspiracy to commit those crimes. Last December, Stone entered into a plea agreement to testify against Capone at the trial. The trial had been scheduled to begin in June when, at the last minute, Second District Judge Michael Griffin recused himself, citing an unforeseen circumstance that arose the weekend prior to the start of the trial. Senior Judge Carl B. Carrick was assigned to the case. A panel of 14 jurors was sworn in on Friday afternoon. Carrick charged them with listening objectively to all of the evidence that we presented in the case and refrained from obtaining further information about the case from outside the courtroom. Only 12 of the 14 jurors will deliberate, and of those 12 will be chosen by lottery when the case gets turned over for a verdict. The trial is expected to last 3 weeks. Current state Idaho State Superintendent of Public Instruction Tom Luna submitted his last budget proposal as head of Idaho Schools as he readies his office for a new education boss after November's election. Luna's proposal calls for a 6.9% increase in state funding for the 2015 school year. Included in his budget proposal, totaling almost $1.48 billion, is a request of $23 million investment on a new teacher career ladder. Luna said that more money will be necessary in future years for a successful career ladder program, starting with an additional $40 million per year over the next 4 years. Luna's budget also calls for basic expense schools operate on with a $10 million stipend, $9 million for classroom technology, $21.6 million for professional development for teachers and restoring another $10 million cut from the maintenance and safe and drug-free schools programs. In a news release, Luna said, quote, "We're meeting our priorities and fulfilling our promises with this budget. This budget proposal follows priorities set forth by Governor Otter's Task Force for Improving Education." Close quote. Last Tuesday, Lapway voters defeated the Lapway School District supplemental levy proposal by close to 59% of the vote. Lapway Superintendent David Aiken said this means the physical education requirement will be using an online course being offered by Digital Learning Academy, a state-sponsored online school. The physical education teacher position would have probably been filled if the levy had passed, but now the school must scramble to fill its gym class requirement. Students will have full access to the school's gymnasium and associated equipment, with the exception that the teacher will be on a computer screen. Aiken said the school also has not had music for 2 years, and foreign languages, a difficult position to fill, according to Aiken, will also be taught on the Digital Learning Academy's website. Aiken said, quote, "We're going to put music back on the table for consideration. Foreign language is just hard to fill, but even if there were qualified applicants in our area, with a levy failing, we will have to rely on Nez Perce language and the IDLA," close quote. Despite coming under criticism from local constituents who claim the school district is irresponsible with its money, Aiken wants to assure his residents that that's not the case. Aiken said, quote, what I'd like people to know is that we are being very fiscally responsible. We really have been proactive in reducing expenses. We're very proactive with grants and very conservative with spending. Montana officials have begun studying the possibility of taking over control of federal lands in the state, despite the governor's opposition to the move. Governor Steve Bullock, a Democrat, opposes the move, which is being endorsed by the Montana Republican Party. John Grassi, a spokesperson for the State Department of Natural Resources and Conservation, which is studying the possible takeover, told the Associated Press that the review has, for the most part, uncovered layers of complexity and a requirement for a, quote, whole new sector of land management that would be needed to manage public lands, close quote. Grassi said that's why the Bullock administration prefers to make the current system work. The Billings Gazette estimates that after factoring in potential revenue from the lands, the state could still have to come up with $367 million in management costs. Chris Mell of the independent nonpartisan research group Headwaters Economics, however, told the Associated Press that public land costs and expenditures fluctuate so much that it is impossible to predict the cost of the land takeover. About 29% of land in Montana is federally owned. A Republican resolution calls for the state takeover of the 21.6 million acres, which would quintuple the acreage managed by the state. Similar moves are being discussed in Wyoming, Utah, and Idaho. Meanwhile, in Idaho, Republican Representative Lawrence Denny, who is running for Secretary of State, has come under criticism for scheduling 7 public hearings in rural Idaho in September and October on the federal lands takeover. Denny dismissed criticism by the Lewiston Tribune, which accused him of making a campaign tour of rural Idaho at taxpayer expense, saying he wished he could have scheduled the hearings earlier because they are interfering with his campaigning. He defended the idea of holding hearings in small towns such as Kamiai, St. Mary's, and Soda Springs, saying, "Why make them travel? They always have to travel." Close quote. Republican Senator Chuck Winder of Boise, who co-chairs the state's interim legislative panel studying the issue, told the Spokesman Review that after spending $41,000 on legal consultations, quote, "We're pretty confident that from a legal perspective, we don't stand on very firm ground." Close quote. But he defended the effort, saying it could prompt federal legislation that would make such takeovers more straightforward. Washington state lawmakers have been ordered to tell the Washington Supreme Court on Wednesday why they failed to follow court orders to revamp the way the state pays for public education. A 2012 decision known as the McCleary decision said the legislature has left too much of a burden on tax levies by local jurisdictions for funding public education and thus shirked its constitutional responsibility to fund education. After each of the three yearly progress reports, the court has said the legislature is moving too slowly. The attorney for the coalition suing the state over education funding, Thomas Ahern, is calling for the court to punish the legislature for its consistent failure to move forward. Ahern is demanding a freeze on state spending, selling state property to pay for education, and reinstating money cut from the education budget. The state attorney general's office, which represents the legislature in the case, has argued in briefs submitted to the court that the legislature has made progress and has plans to make even further progress in the coming year. A Lewiston man was resuscitated by an off-duty Lewiston police officer and his wife yesterday. According to the Lewiston Tribune, the incident took place at the Polar Bear Frozen Yogurt Stand, or restaurant, pardon me. The incident took place about 1:05 p.m. A group of people were eating when a commotion occurred from a man who appeared to be having a seizure and had fallen to the floor. The man was unresponsive and breathing irregularly. Lewiston Police Officer Corporal Craig Roberts had his wife start CPR while he called in an ambulance. The pair continued administering CPR until paramedics arrived on the scene. The man's identity is not being released, but family members at the scene said the man has a history of seizures. He was conscious and breathing when he was taken to St. Joseph's Regional Medical Center. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has published a decision in the Federal Register of Friday designated the Oregon spotted frog as threatened. The frog is down to 10% of its former range, which used to extend from the Puget Sound region to Northern California. Now it lives mainly east of the Cascade Mountains in Oregon. The first proposal to list the Oregon spotted frog came in 1991. Since then, it has lost habitat to farming, ranching, and development. Oregon State University biologist Andy Blaustein told the Associated Press he's not optimistic about the frog's chance of survival as a species. Blaustein said, quote, "It's probably the worst off amphibian we have in the state." The Seattle Times is reporting that five people were arrested at a Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad yard in Everett today. Railroad spokesperson Gus Malone said three men and two women were taken into custody after they blocked the railroad tracks, protesting shipments of oil and coal scheduled for export. According to the Times, the protest, led by Rising Tide Seattle, involved around a dozen protesters who blocked the tracks with a tripod of poles with a woman perched on the top over the tracks. From about 6 a.m. to about 2:30 this afternoon, four other protesters were tied to each of the tripod poles with wire cables. Malone said three trains were delayed, but other trains were rerouted around the protest. There was no railroad property damage from the incident. Malone also said eight of the demonstrators left at the request of the police, but five others remained at the scene. He added that police used a lift called a cherry picker to remove the woman from the top of the device. Malone also said the protesters will probably be charged with trespassing. You are listening to KRFP Moscow. That wraps up the evening report for this September 2nd. You're listening to KRFP Moscow. Taking a quick look at the weather, it's fair at 74 degrees, 23 degrees Celsius. The humidity is 28%. The winds are out of the west at 17 miles per hour, gusting up to 24. The barometer is 29.76 inches of mercury. Tonight, isolated showers after 9 p.m., mostly cloudy, a low of 45. West winds 15 to 20, gusting up to 28 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 20%. Wednesday showers mainly before noon, partly sunny with a high near 63. West winds 11 to 15, gusting up to 22. Chance of precipitation is 30%. Less than a tenth of an inch of new rainfall is expected. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 41, and Thursday will be sunny with a high near 82 degrees. You are listening to KRFP Moscow. It's fair and 74 degrees out there. You have been listening to the KRFP Evening Report. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please stay tuned for Making Contact right here at KRFP Moscow.